This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This, I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
Back with you on Valentine's Day, 590 The Fan. Martin in a little bit early today. You heard from Frank. He's down in Florida, Cardinals spring training. We're going till 3 o'clock live at the Schnucks location here in O'Fallon, Missouri. Let's talk some basketball. Martin Kilcoyne and TJ Moe bringing in Chris Lowry, assistant coach of the Kansas State Wildcats. Couldn't help but notice they're sitting atop the Big 12 standings over a certain... Well, there's another team in that conference that we kind of keep an eye on a little bit. I'm not going to jinx it, Chris, but welcome and tell us about the season so far.
Guys, thanks for having me. We're having a good season, obviously. We're pretty high preseason. With all those guys back we had, from an Elite Eight run, and fell into some injuries early. And then, once we've got Dean Wade back, one of our better players, we're 14-3. So, kind of playing well, and we won 9 in a row in our league, in a very, very hard league, which you guys know with Missouri, obviously, used to being in that league. You know how tough of venues there are in the Big 12.
And give our listeners an idea. Maybe they've never been to a game in Manhattan when it's you and the Jayhawks back and forth. I know you respect that program. They've had a great run. But how heated, how hostile can that be between Kansas and Kansas State?
Oh, it's one of the better environments in college basketball. We had Chauncey Billups they had the NBA, switch game. And I told Chauncey, the guy's been out there since 6 a.m. and it was about 5 degrees, that day when he's like, you mean there's people out there waiting? I was like, yeah, kids have been out since yesterday morning camping. And he couldn't believe it. And then the game starts and he's like, wow, this is unbelievable. This is crazy, the environment and how good of a game it was. And it's a good college basketball environment, good college basketball game.
In your roster, we looked, there's a third. I forgot about that. You got 3 St. Louis kids, and Frank and I talk about it all the time. You can't go to a big prep game, whether it's CBC and Vachon or maybe over at Belleville West, East St. Louis. We turn around, there's Bruce Weber. You turn around, there's Chris Lowry. I mean, you guys are spending as much time as St. Louis as some of our pro athletes. I mean, this has become a hotbed for you guys.
Well, I think the biggest thing has been so good to us throughout the years. Obviously, Coach Weber was, on staff at Purdue, and, some of these St. Louis guys came over with Konzo and those guys, and Ian Standback, from over on the east side, and, all those guys we had at Southern Illinois, from Darren Brooks, all those guys from St. Louis, Randall Falker, just great players we've had, Brian Turner, and just from the, the St. Louis Eagles, AAU program, from Kent Williams, Matt Shaw, Jamal Tatum. We've had so many good guys from there be good players for us. And it's kind of snowballed into the fact that when you treat good people the right way in an organization, they'll treat you good back. And, the good thing about it, all those kids all have graduated. And it's something that we always brag about. Our Eagles guys that we've had, all of them have graduated, and all of them played in the NCAA tournament, which is pretty crazy.
Well, Coach, why do you think there's so much talent here in St. Louis? Over the years, we've seen a lot of guys come out of here. Jason Tatum, the most recent, the guys that end up being really good pros. Ben McLemore, Bradley Beal. There's been a lot of guys. Why do you think St. Louis pumps out so much in a city that really, in football talent is just kind of average, and some of the other sports, it seems like basketball really produces some high-level talent?
I think the biggest thing is that it's really – there's a lot of trainers there. When you look at guys who do a good job in the city, training people, Drew Hanlon, obviously, he's training NBA guys. He's the elite trainer for the Stars. And you got Corey Frazier and those guys over there. Then you got great high school coaching as well and great players over there. And you look at some of the really good programs over there, Sean, Hazelwood Central, the SMET. You got really, really good teams, good chemistry, Webster Groves. You got guys who can really coach that are over there. CBC, Chaminade, just the name, a few of the, Justin Tatum and Frank Vance. All those guys have players every year. And then you're going to go on the east side and you go to Belleville West and East, and they got guys, and the east side has guys. So, and they all come together. And that's the one thing that has been special is that those guys have all been representing, you know, St. Louis-based AAU programs. They're keeping them guys, you know, within, you know, the city limits and surroundings.
This interview is now official because Ed Curtis, Saluki backer, has texted in his approval of Chris Lowry being on the 590 of the Fan press box. I think Ed is actually in Evansville today. Last year you make the Elite Eight run. How long does it take for it to sink in? Hey, that was a great run. A couple of weeks in the tournament that the whole school and the alumni got fired up. Because at the moment, I'm sure it's all about, we could have gone to the Final Four, and you're that close. It's hard to get that close. When do you sort of balance out the emotions and enjoy what was a great run?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us is when you usually go on a magical run and you get to the Elite Eight Final Four, you usually lose the guys that got you there. So that was one of those deals where we were so emotional, but then we just thought about it, and we were like, oh, man, D-Wade's hurt, so he can't turn pro. You know, he can't jump. And, you know, we knew some of our other guys were going to test, and we didn't know whether Xavier Sneed was going to test or not, but after visiting with his father in the lobby, we were like, okay, we're good. So, man, we immediately start thinking, man, if all these guys are back, we got a chance to be pretty good next year.
And last one for me, Chris. You were a head coach at Carbondale, made it to a Sweet 16, made some tournament runs down there with the Salukis. You've been with Bruce for a long time, of course, played at Carbondale. I wonder every once in a while, if you look over and the headaches that Bruce has and you say, you know what, it's fun being the head guy, but he can have this. You know, there's got to be some days where you're looking over and saying, I don't need that.
Well, I'll tell you, one was after Texas A&M, we lost to them in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. I was like, ooh, I know he's going to have a rough night tonight. And but no, I mean, if you're in this profession, obviously you're in it for kids, you want to really, you know, you do it because you love it. And obviously every assistant's dream is to be a head coach. And fortunately for me, I was one really young and had the opportunity, and now I'm settled in, and, you know, I'm a veteran assistant now. You know, and that's the one good thing about being in this profession. If you do a good job, you always have an opportunity to be in a good place, and being with coach is great, and absolutely love to have a chance again. But right now, we have such a good thing going, and we have great chemistry here, you know, on our staff, that we're going to ride this thing out and really continue to just, you know, support, promote, and continue to get our brand better here at Kansas State.
And, Coach, I should know this. What is the EMAW hashtag, EMAW? I see that on all of yours. I should probably – I don't know my K-State slogans, I guess.
Every man a Wildcat.
All right.
Every man a Wildcat.
You know what? I am a Missouri guy, Coach. I played football for the Tigers, but I can get on board. I will be tweeting out EMAW on February 25th when you guys are at Allen Fieldhouse.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you may have close to a whole state backing you guys on that particular day and moving forward in the Big 12 Conference Tournament. Chris, hey, best of luck the rest of the way. Tell Coach Weber we said hi, and enjoying
okay,
the success here with those St. Louis kids. Fun for us to watch. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Chris Lowry, assistant coach, Kansas State. I was thinking of TJ. I said, these Wildcats are about to take down, hopefully, I hope we didn't jinx it. Where's it? We got any wood around here? They're leading the Big 12. Of course, Kansas always wins the Big 12.
So this FBI investigation, yeah, what a coincidence.
Yes. All of a sudden, they're not as potent. I decided not to do any gratuitous Marquette talk, which is rare, and Hoff would normally approve. But I wanted to tell Chris, hey, you guys keep winning because Marquette beat K-State earlier this year.
Ah.
So the deeper they are, the better they are. That helps, I guess.
It's all about the RPI.
Is it our net? Is it our net rating that will be affected?
No one understands how it works.
Correct.
Right. Neither does the NCAA.
Nope.
No one does.
To be fair. Hollywood Casino Press Box coming to you live until, well, it's not the press box, but until 3 o'clock, 590 The Fan live at this Schnucks location here. Monticello, O'Fallon, Missouri. Do you call it God's country out here, TJ? Is that?
This isn't Texas. We don't.
Okay.
We don't like.
You don't get that weird about it.
No, we don't fly the O'Fallon flag over the United States flag. None of that.
But you could at this location. It's one of the former Shop and Saves, one of the Schnucks 19 that they're converting. I think they need a little logo. I know they're all one big family, but Robin Younts, 19, is retired by the Brewers. It's just like a nice little circle with a 19. Somewhere in the building, all of the ones that used to be Shop and Saves, I think they should just have a little plaque with a little circle 19. What do you think? I'm an idea guy.
Well, I'm wondering if this is a new thing. All the aisles are named after streets. There's Alexandria Drive, Charlottesville Drive, Burlington Court. Is this every Schnucks, or is this just this one?
That's a great question.
I've never noticed this before.
It's unique to this store. Okay. Right. I like that.
I just want to give a round of applause to whoever made sure that Running Waters Drive was the beer aisle.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That, of all of them, that's easily the most geniusly played one. That's incredible.
And if you ask somebody, hey, I'm looking for frozen vegetables, and they say, that's over on Charlottesville Drive. You're like, great. Now, where's that? Oh, okay. It's all marked very plainly for us to see. All right. Chris Long is fun on Twitter. We know that, right? Chris Long is just fun in general. So he was having a little fun at the fact that it is Valentine's Day. He's a married guy. He's got a family. So this is big, right? TJ, you've been married how long?
August. So what is that? Quick math. 6 months, seven, whatever.
He's literally counting
the
days.
Yeah.
But this is your first year
as
a married man, and it's Valentine's Day. Did you feel extra pressure on this particular day?
No. Last year I did because we weren't married yet, and she hadn't already said yes. Hoff had this.
Now you're mailing it in.
I didn't mail it in. So this morning, she typically I go. She goes to the gym in the morning before I do, and then I go. She comes back and she leaves for work at around 7:30 or so. So I left the gym early and I came home and brought her a little teddy bear and some chocolate. And all that. But it's less. I don't know. Valentine's Day. It's a girl holiday, so it just depends on how much you care about the girl, right?
We're married now. We have an anniversary to be the.
But that's not for months.
I know. I understand that. But that's the date where we
just as a general rule
express our love. Valentine's Day's for couples.
I am anti-holiday. I think you should each pick three. I think we have too many days off and we don't work enough. That's my theory.
So Chris Long ranked the holidays. Okay, these are non-sporting event holidays. So he said, don't talk about March Madness. Don't talk about the Super Bowl. Non-sporting event holidays. What do you think's number one favorite holiday?
Well, most people would say Christmas.
Christmas. That's what he put. Number two, I would say this is kind of out of nowhere. He put Memorial Day. That's
Memorial Day is great because
you feel like summer's around the corner.
It's the day around here. The pools open up. And so it's a nice day off in the middle of when it's warm. Nobody wants a day off when it's freezing so you can sit inside and do nothing.
I also feel like for a guy like Chris Long, a football player, there's nothing going on football-wise Memorial Day.
That's
right?
A great time, right?
Like there's no training camp, there's no mini camp. Like that's probably
might be a mini camp.
I think there's OTAs around Memorial Day.
Yeah, I was just trying to think if that's a holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Labor Day. There's all football stuff going on there, 4th of July training camp. Maybe late May is when he can just do whatever he wants.
He caught some flack for not having Labor Day at all, kind of in the top ones. And he's like, well, usually I have to work on Labor Day. So it's not going to be amazing. So he's like, it's not going to be my top ranking for me.
Yeah.
And then the 4th of July, he put third. I'd have to go a little higher than Memorial Day, 4th of July.
Yes.
Thanksgiving, 4th. St. Paddy's Day, 5th. New Year's Eve, 6th.
No.
Cinco de Mayo. But the reason, and I'm reading all of these, the reason is then he's trying to make a point. So he has his top seven. And then he drops down to 136, which is Groundhog Day.
Okay.
223 is Tax Day. And 365 on the list is Valentine's Day. He's making the point that he's not a big Valentine's Day guy, I guess. I think he's just having a little fun at everyone's expense.
Well, Martin, what have you done for your wife for Valentine's Day?
Uh-huh.
This morning, from Schnucks, we had some flowers. We had a nice card, but we're actually celebrating on Saturday. But of course, there's that acknowledgement, the love, and the card. You know, you can put such a nice note in that card. I always tried fun. Cards are impossible.
Did you write something in it, or did you just you have like whatever was written in the card and just write "Love Martin"?
Google a poem. That's what you
got. Is that right?
Google a poem, and somebody will
you say it was yours.
It'll be on Reddit or something.
This is
that's
Walt
what Rock
Whitman
does.
Poem.
Yeah.
Did you steal
this? Put a lot of thought into this.
Is this Wadsworth? Did you steal this? I hate picking out cards because you have the two extremes. We've talked about it before. There's the overly sappy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need oxygen if it weren't for you. And then there's the one that's overly sarcastic. And, you know, it's just the guy in a bathrobe and like, what are you looking at? We're still married, aren't we? You know, it's just like so rude.
They have some funny ones in the middle. I was looking at those today. Like there was a couple. I'm trying to remember one. Something like, you know everything about me, but hey, you're still here. Little, right. You know, where you're. That there are some funny ones in the middle. But typically I think Hallmark is they're on their way out of business if that's where we're staying.
And they get a good dollar for those cards, too, don't
Jeez.
They?
My
you don't,
wife
you don't
will
know
not
it
spend,
till they scan it.
My
like,
wife won't spend $8 on a card. She'll just make her own if that's what she says. This is $8. Put that back.
With that in mind, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And for all your last-minute needs, the cards at Schnucks are different. Those are the good ones.
That's right.
And
they're all funny.
And we're at O'Fallon, Missouri here until 3 o'clock, a huge 11 o'clock hour, because Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, all things college sports. Chris Kerber at 11:30, live from the rink, Blues and Coyotes tonight. Chuck Marlowe may check in a little later. Travis Ford of the Billikens at noon. A little bit about the Hall of Fame class this weekend for SLU. It's Earl Austin who's going in. Dr. Chaffetz is going in. And my reaction for both of them was the same. When you heard Earl Austin was going in the SLU Hall of Fame, you said, is he not in that already?
Shouldn't Dr. Chaffetz have been put in when he donated the
money?
He's
given them $27 million.
Shouldn't that have come with it?
We were in Chicago doing this story on him and his life the other day, and I said to him, wait a minute, you're not in the building. He goes, no, I just got the call. I'm like, are they waiting for that next check to arrive? You've given them $27 million.
I also think this puts a this deflates the theory that you can't buy love. Indeed, you can. You
right.
bought a lot of love.
Right.
So we'll talk to Travis Ford in the noon hour. They've also had former players coming back. He said last week it was sort of like a roll call. He said we might get Larry Hughes in here. Anthony Bonner, who's like my age but in better shape, was practicing. Aaron Hines, a recent player.
Dude.
How fun is that for guys who played for that school? Like if Barry Odom said, hey, can you just line up and, you know, run some curl routes, get us 6 yards? No offense, of course. I didn't.
No, that's I think that was the longest catch I ever had. It is pretty awesome. So Albert Pujols puts together his all-star game for the young adults with Down syndrome, and Anthony Bonner came and played, and he was better than the entire Missouri Baptist team. And he's 50. That dude can legit play still.
And he's one of those guys who's always been a brick. Like, you'd bump off of him, and they put some video out online, SLU did, and he looks the same as when he played.
Yeah.
SLU did win last night at George Washington, and that was part of our premise earlier. They had a double-digit lead, and my immediate thought was, oh, no.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who your team is. You know if you're up double digits, they're going to lose it. They may still win the game, but they'll lose that double-digit lead.
Well, that's the theory. Is this the referees doing it, right?
Conspiracy.
Yeah. It's a gambling conspiracy.
We've argued about this for years, right? It's like at some point the fouls always even out unless you're playing at Allen Fieldhouse, right? That is the idea, and it really is true. Are the referees kind of evening it out? Because when you slow the game down, stop the momentum, shoot a lot of free throws, it's easy to catch up.
And our text topic today.
Are we reading text? We did get one sarcastic text yesterday at like 12:58.
Saying thanks for reading the text.
It was more so just like, why even ask for them?
No, that's fair.
I agreed, yeah.
Usually Chuck monitors those, and Hoff has been instructed to monitor them, right? Is that the plan?
You just never call for them. It's your fault.
But I wanted to borrow from that Chicago poll question, and you have to pick basically one of the three options they had for not pursuing Bryce Harper. And if you heard the morning after, Bill DeWitt was on, and Tim asked him about Harper. He said, I won't specifically comment, but overall we're spending about where we need to spend based on our market size, which infuriates some people because they say your market size is just kind of this almost smaller middle of the road when actually,
you know what, let's merge the city and county. Let's increase the market size and force them to spend more
money. Well, market size doesn't have anything to do with revenue necessarily either.
Right. But people are saying you as a huge revenue team are not a small market or middle market.
From a revenue standpoint, they're a large market.
Yes. You're like a top 10 franchise. Correct. Based on revenue.
Right.
You can look at it.
But they are in spending as well. And I think that's where people get frustrated. Go look at their stuff. What were they, seventh last year in payroll?
And he said, if you look, this is what Bill DeWitt said this morning. He said, if you look at the top six or seven market teams, you know, you got your Dodgers, Cubs, Yankees, Mets, whatever, Red Sox. He said, then we're kind of that next one. And basically, we're spending about where we are. We're not spending 15th or 20th.
Right this second, they are, according to, I don't know how to say, SpoTrack, SpotRack, however you want to say it, they have $153 million, almost $154 million pledged in 2019 on their payroll. That would be ninth at this moment. Now, the issue is you're looking at the Red Sox and the Cubs. Red Sox are at 221 already. Cubs are at 209. And so that is a stark difference. But you're not getting the revenue those guys are. It's got to be by percentage. If you're not going to have a salary cap, everybody's not going to be spending the same. It has to be by percentage.
Yeah, and he was making the case for who we are with our revenue and size. We're spending plenty. Tim said you had the appetite for Stanton, which was a huge contract last year. Why would you not have an appetite this year? And he said, since then, we added Ozuna. He said, we all kind of know what his number is, his arbitration, or what's he, like $15 million
Yeah, but you have no plan to signing him long-term, so who cares what the
arbitration number is? But in terms of the payroll, he said, since we pursued Stanton, we added Ozuna and Goldschmidt. to our payroll. Now, you could say Wainwright came off the books. That was a huge number.
And
I know
their payroll has dropped, too.
From
it
last
was 163
year.
Last year, so they're on track to spend $10 million less.
Couldn't you make the argument that the payroll money you didn't spend last year, since it would likely only be on the books for 1 year this year, would just have been moved? Right, because
yes.
You ended up getting Ozuna for, what was it, $13 million last year, right around there. Otherwise, you'd have been spending $25.
Yes.
Instead, you still have, you would have one, but you have Goldschmidt for $14 million this year. You will have one outlier year, and then not re-signing Ozuna takes care of a lot of that.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Now, here's the doomsday wet blanket scenario of all time.
Cubs got him?
Neither player is back, Goldschmidt, Ozuna. It's funny, because we've all sort of decided, well, Ozuna's not coming back. I guess in part because of Boris. And we all sort of assume, oh, Goldschmidt will stay. He's like a Matt Holliday. He'll want to be here. And that might be proven correct. I think the Cardinals think that's correct. But the doomsday is neither guy comes back, and now you get all this money. And you say, okay, now, all right, here we are. Now we're at the table. We got our, all right, let's do this. We got money. Mo, we got stupid money. And they say, yeah, Machado and Harper, those guys are all gone.
Mike your, Trout, baby.
You know,
2 years.
And Arenado re-ups in Colorado. And you're like,
oh, yeah.
That's your doomsday. I want to yell at the radio. I'm a mad fan. Next winter is these guys aren't back.
Harrison
you got money.
Taylor?
The king.
The king.
There's, you know, the thing is it always comes around, right? It's like every year that they whiff on somebody, somebody else comes up. Nobody thought that Paul Goldschmidt was a possibility a couple years ago, and here he is in Cardinals uniform. Something always comes up. People are frustrated that it's not happening right now after missing the playoffs for three straight years.
So for our texters that we'll read at 12:59, borrowing from the Cub fans, are you mad that they're not going after Harper? They made it very clear. They're not. And we've said this for months. They're not going after Harper. Are you mad about that? Are you slightly disappointed, or do you think not worth it? You're okay with not worth it. So mad, slightly, or not worth it.
How much does situation play into that? Because if the Yankees aren't involved, Boston not involved, the Cubs have said that they're out, the Dodgers are saying that they're not involved. So this is the one opportunity where there's a transcendent talent on the market, and the quote-unquote big market teams are not there. Who is? The Padres?
And, Brian, you
Giants?
Forgot to mention the guy in Harper's spot right now is Dexter Fowler. Like, that, there's a lot of contributing factors. You need to
right.
sign a guy
yeah.
like Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
I'm
Phillies
sorry.
Phillies are involved,
where
but
we
teams
play
that
him?
Aren't well known for
yeah,
spending hundreds of millions
get
of dollars
Bro Neal.
Are there and
350
at
bats.
Bro Neal. Tyler O'Neill. Bro Neal. Texters, 855-282-8255. 55.
Here's an example of a text, Don Jewish saying, Martin, quote, we'll read your text coming up. Everyone who texted stuff in, will you?
Martin,
fair.
Are you saving your take for the end, or what are your thoughts?
I think they should spend more because I think there's plenty of money there. Now, would I sign Harper? Can I go back before they got Goldschmidt and sign Harper? I can right? Because I know I've only got Goldschmidt for one. I think I would go on, like, I don't want to do a $300 million deal. But if I am at this point, the market's played out, I'd make a call, do something bold, which they say they want to do. So I think that's the other frustration is they say bold,
right?
But their moves are incremental or they're positive moves, but they don't really floor you.
But they're bold for the Cardinals, and that's where that comes from, right? Everybody thinks bold, and they say, okay, good. They're going to be
bold.
Bold
by
like
their
them.
Definition,
exactly.
Yes. I would make an offer of Harper. I would try and do one of those huge AAV deals in a shorter term. Now, I guess he's going to turn it down. But I think Harper is unique in the fact that he's 26, and we've talked a lot about it. But if I were them, I'd go for it. Because I also would kind of have a pulse of the fan base and say they kind of are at a level of frustration. There have been more empty seats later in the year, the last couple of years, than typical. I think people are now – there's a little bit of a pushback. We're still extremely popular. We'll still sell a lot of tickets. But I think we're at a key point here for the next 5 to 10 years. Who are we? And this would shift that conversation. Even if he's a bust, it would shift the conversation for 5 to 10 years.
Would you give him $200 million over five?
Yes.
$200 million over five.
With an opt-out at three.
Ooh, the opt-out kind of changes. I think I'd do that, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I would.
I think I would, too. And,
then I'd turn around and I'd say, I'm sorry, Dexter, I really like you, and this is going to cost us a bleep ton of money,
yeah.
But I got to do this.
Why not trade Ozuna?
Well, you
kind of want him.
You're
though.
Not keeping him beyond.
But I
this
don't really
year.
Need. I don't care because I could play O'Neill over there if I had to or Bader. I've got insurance for him. I'll ride him out for his. I'll get his contract year out of him. He'll be motivated and I'll let it ride.
So this is what I can't figure out. I get a 5 years from now he may not have. He's certainly not going to be as desirable as he is right now at age 26. But 5 years from now, he would then have made $200 million already. You would think over the next five, he could minimally make $100 million. His overall...
He'd get there, yes. Right?
He'd be blazing past it if he would take a gamble on himself over 5 years. And during this, you could opt out at three. If I were him, I would demand an early opt-out at 3 years. Well, even so, you just made $120 million in three drafts at age 29.
I think at minimum, what we're all saying right now, at this moment even, is we'd kind of kick the tires. We'd at least call and say, where are you in this process? What's possible? And if... You know, Boris is hanging up and saying, no, you're not
even
in the ballpark.
Well, that's what the Giants are doing. The Giants have said that they would offer him a shorter-term deal. They're not looking at a longer-term deal. He's saying we're only going to sign a longer-term deal. Then you have to go back to Washington because nobody else is offering those years right now.
Will you?
Right, quick.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
no, that's
you
right.
Can go to break. Will you just look at the outfield when Ozuna leaves for free agency? Like, that's all I need to say. Like, look at your team next year and long-term. There are so many one-year deals out there. You're almost forced now to pay Carpenter is $20 million. And then you have an aging Yadier Molina. You're probably going to give $150 million to Goldschmidt. Your money is allocated to older players, and your outfield is full of what-ifs. And then you're probably going to see Harper hit 35 bombs next year. I just do not understand it.
I thought you and the King made peace. Come on.
Look, the role players are great. They're needed.
Oh,
but
he's not the King?
He's a role player.
I'm kidding. I heard you guys made peace today.
Yes, we did.
That's the Plowhawk back in the studios. We're live in O'Fallon, Missouri at the Schnucks location here in Monticello. Quick break. We're going to talk to Dennis Dodd. A little later, Chris Kerber of your St. Louis Blues. Travis Ford coming up as well. And we're going to read text, Hoff. Are we not? We're one for one.
Yep.
855-282-8255. Maryville University brings you the listener line, which is the same number as the text line, maryville.edu, for more information.